Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. This morning I want to look at and challenge your thinking on who is the real Jesus. I've been thinking about this week. You come across, there's other faiths, other religions that come out of Judaism, Christianity, and they all have some teaching on Jesus. And there's thought today, and I thought as we went through Sunday school this morning how applicable it was. There's a thought today that, well, as long as they believe in Jesus, we can all, you know, loop hands and arms and shoulders and work together, and we all believe in Jesus. But I believe it is very important that we know the real Jesus. There's people out there that say they believe in Jesus, but it's not the one that we find in Scripture. And I think it's important for us to know the right Jesus, to know who he truly is. And I believe this, there's many sources of information today with our phones and the internet, that there's lots of podcasts, and we need to be careful that we're not being drawn away from the true Jesus. I hope none of you sitting here are deceived, partially deceived, or maybe you're just not clear in your mind about who Jesus is, but I hope by the end of the message, and if not by the end of the message, you can go home and dig into God's Word and get to know the real Jesus this morning. But unfortunately, as much as in our modern multicultural society, maybe it gives you warm fuzzies to think that we can, loop hands with Catholics, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Muslims. They all say they believe in Jesus. But I've been challenged in my thinking of Jesus does not allow us to misconstrue who he is. So there are many people today who would teach that he was simply a good man, a moral person, that we can read the New Testament, read his teachings, but we don't have to acknowledge that he is God, or we don't have to acknowledge that we are sinful and desperately in need of a Savior. And so that's what I want to challenge us this morning. Recently, I was listening to an interview in which Wes Huff, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's a historian / I'll call him a missionary, teaching, a teacher, who in the interview said that Jesus does not allow us to conclude that he was simply a good man. And I think that's true, that if you look in God's Word, and we will look into it this morning, that you can't conclude. If you truly are desiring to know who Jesus is and you're truly digging in to God's Word, you can't conclude that he was just a good man. Now the name has skipped me. C.S. Lewis, I believe, is his name. And one of his books talks about this, and I think this is where the idea comes from, but numerous people have said it over the years. Either Jesus was God, he was the Christ, or he was a madman. And I thought about that as I studied this message, and I believe that is true. You can't conclude anything else. You can't put him in any other place. That either he was the Christ that he claimed to be, or he was crazy. And so there's not really any other position that we can come to on that. If you're someone this morning who enjoys listening to Jordan Peterson, I want to warn you that even though there's much that he says that as a Christian we agree with him on, that in all the things I've listened to him of and what I've heard, Wes Huss talked about him also when I went in his interview, but I don't believe that he truly believes that Jesus is divine, that he's God. And I also don't believe that Jordan Peterson has ever acknowledged his need of a Savior, of repentance. And so this morning, if you're someone who really, really enjoys him, I just caution you to be careful that even though there's much that we agree with him on and appreciate maybe things that he's promoting, we need to be careful that we don't also accept Jordan Peterson's theology. But I will leave it at that. God knows his heart, and I will leave it at that. So, was Jesus God? Is Jesus God, or is he a madman? If he wasn't truly the Son of God, if he wasn't a part of the Trinity, then he was mad, wasn't he? To say the things that he did to the Jewish people and to the Romans when he was on trial. If he wasn't God, but yet he was playing along that he was, he had to be crazy. He had to know that those things would get him killed. Let's turn to Matthew 16 for the first verses I want to look at this morning. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come to you. We ask, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to us this morning, to each of our hearts, through the aid of the Holy Spirit. As we look into your word this morning, help us, Lord, to truly get to know who you are if we don't already. And help us, Lord, to never change our thoughts on who you are, to be deceived. Satan would love to deceive us and to draw us away from the truth. So help us this morning as we look into your word to define and to divide the truth from the error. And I just pray, Lord, you would just be with this message. We pray this in your name. Amen. So some important things I want us to think about when we think about this passage here. Jesus, up to this point, I don't believe had challenged any of the disciples with this question, but he did today, that day. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, there are people saying, making all these other claims. Jesus, I believe, comes to each person in their life at some point and asks them this question. Maybe sometimes it's through a conversation with someone. Maybe it's sitting under a message. Maybe it's just simply the Holy Spirit coming and asking, "Who do you say that I am?" And so who do we say Jesus is? Why is it so tempting to just say that he was a good moral teacher or just a good person who we can just take what he taught and make our lives better, as many people try to do today? What is the problem with that? It then allows us to kind of live our lives however we choose. If he's not God, why do we have to listen to him then? If he's not God, but yet maybe I can save myself by following his teachings. What if we recognize that he's God and he was perfect, sinless. Then we start to see our failings, how we come up short, I believe. One of the things that I thought about too, you know, when all the different things, the ideas that the Jews had of who Christ was, who Jesus was at this point, I think that the Jews had been thinking these things for a while or had been struggling to know what to do with Jesus. Where did that come from? Well, in the Old Testament, there were many, many prophecies. But what we see as the Jews were introduced to Jesus, either as a baby or as a teenager or then when his ministry started, there was a lot of misunderstandings of who the Messiah would be or who what he would look like or what his purpose on earth would be. Many thought that he would come and set the king of David, the throne of David back up, and that they would have their own kingdom, and they'd be freed from those that would oppress them, have been oppressing them for many centuries. And so I believe when Jesus did show up, many Jews rejected the idea that he was the Messiah because he didn't fit the mold of what they had thought. Turn with me to Genesis 22. We have a story of Abraham. God asked him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. Genesis 22, beginning at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Did Abraham understand that one day the Messiah, the God's son, would come and be offered as a sacrifice? Maybe. But I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't fully understand. And so, if Abraham, the patriarch of the Jewish people, didn't understand, it's understandable that many of the Jews wouldn't. Turn to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm just going to jump over some verses. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 7. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 15, My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of the deaf. And we see here verse after verse pointing to the death that Jesus would suffer, the Messiah would suffer. Did David truly understand that the coming Messiah would one day be killed in a gruesome way? I don't know that he fully understood it. And so it makes sense that even the people that the Jewish people look back on, and it says that David was a man after God's own heart, and yet God didn't completely reveal to him at that time what all would happen to the Messiah. Even though David wrote the words that today, looking back, makes perfect sense. And yet when Jesus came, many of the Jews rejected him because they had a misconception of who he was. So the misconceptions of Jesus and the Messiah have only grown even farther and farther away from the truth over the last 2,000 years, even after Jesus came. I'm just going to mention some different groups today that all pretty much claim, except for the Muslims, to be Christian, but all would claim to believe in Jesus. And some even try, when they're trying to convince a Christian, that they're one with us. But Catholics believe Jesus died and rose again. But if you want to be sure your prayers are answered, pray to his mother Mary. Jesus really isn't God if the highest person to pray to is his mother. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is a created being, i.e. he's a good moral person, not the Son of God, not divine. Mormons believe Jesus is a created being, a sibling of Satan, and that we can all become gods one day. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet who traded places with Judas and didn't really die on the cross. So we see that, yes, they all claim to believe in Jesus, but it's what they believe about him that I believe we can say they don't believe in the real Jesus. So we all need to be careful. Are we in the same place? Have we created a persona with the name Jesus who really isn't the true divine Savior that we need to be saved? Atheists and agnostics believe that Jesus existed. If they believe he existed, he was just a good moral person also. And even many so-called Christian churches today are no longer teaching the real Jesus. I'm just saying this, giving this example secondhand, but my wife went to hear the Project Promise yesterday, and the church building they held it in, and I'm not putting the Project Promise down at all. I believe what they're doing is a good thing. But the church building they held it in, if I understand right, you drove in this driveway, and there was a sign there saying they believe in all religions, all, and they had all these alls. And it struck me this morning sitting in Sunday school as we thought about Mars Hill that many churches today are in just as bad a spot as the men on Mars Hills were. They believed in so many gods that they no longer knew the real God, and he was unknown to them. So we need to be on guard ourselves. Do we truly know who Jesus is? In my last message, I talked about our need for justification by Jesus, by the blood of Christ. But if we don't know the real Jesus, I think we often lose sight of seeing our need to be justified by him. Maybe you grew up in a good family. Maybe you've never committed any real terrible sins. But if we can see and understand the real Jesus, I believe it will make us realize that any sin, no matter how small, is in need of a Savior to be saved from. So what does the New Testament say about who Jesus is? That's what I want to look at now. You can turn with me to John chapter 10. We know that in the Old Testament, Jesus was not fully revealed. Even though you add all the prophecies together, we could know that Jesus was the Messiah when he came. He wasn't completely fully revealed until he came and his ministry started. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Some of the strongest statements of Jesus being God we find in the book of John. And so often those who don't believe or don't want to believe that Jesus is divine try and discredit John. But whether the book of John was written 5 years after Jesus' death and resurrection or 50 years, the fact was John was a credible witness. He was one of the closest disciples to Jesus. And so if John is saying that Jesus claimed these things, I believe that we can trust that also. Turn a couple chapters over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 45. "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye know not him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." And I'm going to stop there. We see the Jews once again understanding what Jesus was saying. There are those who try to say, well, the Jews didn't think Jesus was God. But yet we see here a second time in verse 59, "And they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." So once again, they tried to stone him. Why were they trying to stone him? Because they knew what he was saying. They disagreed with it, but they fully understood that Jesus was claiming to be God. Some argue that, well, Jesus didn't really say that. He didn't really say that he was God. By picking through the New Testament but not reading all of it, others say, well, the Jews didn't think Jesus was God. And others say, well, the disciples didn't teach it, but typically they have to try to discredit John and maybe even a couple of the other disciples, because you find in each of the books of the Gospel and many other books of the Bible a understanding that Jesus was God. Just some other claims. Titus 2:13, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ," written by Paul. Paul believed that Jesus was God. I read the story this morning in Matthew where Simon Peter said that he believed that Jesus was the Christ. In 2 Peter 1:1, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." So he clearly believed, even after Jesus' death and resurrection, he still believed that Jesus was God, was the Christ, was the Messiah. One of the passages I learned in Bible memory, that probably my favorite one I learned in Bible memory, I don't know if it was because it was easy or just stuck with me. John 1:1, familiar passage. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." How can you say that Jesus is not God, is not creator? It's very clear here that he is God. But it also speaks of those who struggle with this idea. It speaks of darkness and that some men prefer darkness over light. Maybe that bothers you this morning if you're struggling with the real Jesus, of accepting him as the real Messiah. Are you struggling with a love of darkness rather than light? So let us seek the light. Let us seek to know Jesus and have Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through his word, help reveal himself. Where is Jesus today? That's part of understanding who the real Jesus is. There's even groups that struggle with this. If you look at the Jews today, if they're not a messianic Jew, they believe he still hasn't come. They're waiting for his first coming. And so, because they're looking for the wrong Messiah, they will most likely accept the Antichrist when he comes. The Seventh-day Adventist, I don't know if you've ever worked with one, met one, or talked with one, but they have some, even though they have a lot of truth mixed into their writings and their beliefs, they believe he's no longer at the right hand of the Father today, but he's in this heavenly sanctuary. Let's turn to Hebrews 4, beginning of verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but when it is all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe it is clear in God's word that Jesus is at the throne, the right hand of the Father today, interceding for us. He's not some other secret place or separate place, but he and the Father are working together. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is speaking of the temple, man-made temple, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And the last passage I want to look at this morning is Colossians 3:1-4. I want to leave this passage with you. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So let this be our heart and our goal as we strive to live for him. Let us be risen with Christ. I believe this is a spiritual, not a physical being risen. Seeking those things above, setting our affections on things above. Being dead to sin and hid with Christ. So that one day we will be with Christ in heaven, as we see in verse 4. The true Jesus will cause us to fall to our knees if we've not done so before. Someday when we stand before him, the true Jesus will cause all of us, I believe, to fall before him because of who he is, the Christ, the Son of God. So I hope each one of us this morning know him and are striving and seeking to know him better. Lord bless you.